Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now we're going to return to our coverage of the general election, and joining me in the studio, we've Jennifer Bray, political correspondent with the Irish Times, and Alison O'Connor, journalist and broadcaster, and RTE's Barry Lenehan is here. Lots of people will be joining us on the phone throughout this discussion as well. But Barry, I just want to catch up with anything that might have happened over the last little while. Is there any news?
No counting continuing. Still 12 seats left to fill across five constituencies in Cavan, Monaghan. At the moment, they're distributing the surplus of Fine Gael's David Maxwell. It's expected Matt Carthy is still to take a seat there for Sinn Féin alongside one of his running mates. It's likely to be Cathy Bennett, which would she would take the seat of the incumbent there, Pauline Tully, with Fianna Fáil's Niamh Smith and Brendan Smith likely to hold their seats, although Éantu's Sarah O'Reilly will not concede victory just yet, you would expect. That'll mean there'll be three Monaghan and two Cavan now in that constituency, which, if you know anyone from Monaghan in particular, you know how important that is to them. In Cork North Central, Mick Barry has said he'll know around lunchtime the next steps there, whether that might move to a recount. Of course, there was a famous recount that went on for days in Cork back in 2002, so Brian O'Connell, our reporter, might like the sound of that. In Kildare North, in Kildare North, it looks like Réada Cronin will be elected shortly for Sinn Féin. She's expected then to be joined by Fine Gael's Joe Neville and perhaps Fianna Fáil's Nisha O'Carroll, and Fine Gael's Bernard Durkin, already the oldest TD in the history of the state. He has conceded his seat there already at 79 years of age. If he'd been re-elected, he would have become Fine Gael's longest serving TD ever, surpassing Enda Kenny, so he will not hold that mantle, we expect. They're still counting in Louth as well. What they're doing there is distributing the votes of John McGahan, whom of course announced last night that he's to step aside from politics after this campaign. Alison Common has fallen behind Kevin Callan there, which may have Fianna Fáil sweating ever so slightly on whether her votes might go to Callan, the independent from her hometown of Drogheda, rather than her running mate Éireann McGreehan, based up in Cooley. So one to watch there. That might not be a certain seat after all for Fianna Fáil. And the other one in play is Tipperary North Riding, Tip North, where there is a recount underway there as well, after the independent Jim Ryan was just 7 votes behind Michael Smith Jr. of Fianna Fáil, but that will, you would expect, still work out as a seat for Fianna Fáil, with Labour's Alan Kelly from Portrush, yeah, the former leader, wants to be minister. He's still waiting to be elected as well.
Barry, you mentioned something about Limerick City yesterday and a question, or earlier, and a question mark around the count there. Just remind us what might be happening.
That's because the candidates weren't placed alphabetically on the ballot paper. So Maurice Quinlivan and another candidate with the surname beginning with Q, they were placed ahead of Willie O'Dea and Elisa O'Donovan.
Right.
And the gap in, and it is proven in Irish elections that the further, the higher up
it
the ballot paper.
It makes a difference,
yes,
does
I
it?
Think, yes, I think even in Kildare North, I stand to be corrected, whether Nisha O'Carroll had dropped the O, Eamon O'Queeve has obviously done it for many a long year in Galway West. So the gap there was very, very narrow. They were actually only one vote separated at one stage. Elisa O'Donovan of the Social Democrats, the ultimate victor, Conor Sheehan of the Labour Party.
Well, Conor is with us, Barry.
Yes.
Conor Sheehan is on the line from the Labour Party. Hello to you, Conor.
Good morning, Claire, and a very good morning to your listeners.
So what is happening around this issue? What are you hearing?
Well, I suppose I actually was at the very bottom of the ballot paper, so I didn't even, you know, much to my detriment, didn't even notice it when I went to vote. And it was only later on in the afternoon when I saw it reported on social media. And then I looked again at the ballot paper and realised that, you know, the O's were below the Q's. So look, it was a basic administrative error. It shouldn't have happened. And I can't understand how it wasn't proofed properly. You know,
but you're
really
facing
was
a situation now where the Sock Dems could challenge your election. Isn't that right?
Well, the only thing I would say is that on the final count, my election was very decisive. There was over 600 votes between myself and Councillor Elisa O'Donovan, who ultimately came fifth. So that's beyond the doubt you know, it's mm-hmm. very clear that I took the fourth seat by a considerable margin in the end.
Right. Okay.
But any candidate on the ballot is, of course, perfectly entitled
right.
to challenge.
Of course.
Given the
well, Cian O'Callaghan, Social Democrats TD for Dublin Bay North and deputy leader of the party, might be able to shed light on this. Cian, thank you for being with us this morning. Do you know, is your party going to challenge Connor's election?
Well, firstly, I just want to pay tribute to the very strong campaign that Elisa Donovan put in Limerick. She worked phenomenally hard and, you know, a huge amount of people voted for her. Look, if there's any dispute around these issues that matter for the candidate and their election agent, I do think it points to, in a general sense, it would be better if the alphabetical order in the ballot papers was just randomised. I think that would just be fairer and would stop this business of people dropping O's from their surnames and whatnot. So I think that is something the Electoral Commission
right,
should look at for future elections.
But I suppose what I'm asking you is, are you aware whether your party has taken a decision on this, whether this result will be challenged?
Well, as I said, that would be a matter for the candidate and their election agent. So that would be their call
okay.
to make.
All right. Listen, Pádraig McLoughlin is with us as well, Sinn Féin TD for Donegal. Hello to you, Pádraig.
Hi, Claire. How you doing?
And listen, congratulations to you on your election and all of the TDs who are joining us on the line. We are looking, though, it would seem, at another Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael-dominated government.
Well, you know, I'm not so sure of the narrative that's emerging, because if you look at the Labour Party, the Sock Dems, they've had a very good election. Sinn Féin has actually won more seats than we did in 2020. You're looking at around 60 seats just between our three parties when the votes are closed and finally all counted.
And then, then where would you go?
Well, I think that there are three blocks in Irish politics, and right now two of them are required to form a government. So obviously that's Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin. It doesn't just follow that Fianna Fáil will get away with putting Fine Gael back into power. They've been there for 14 years. On the huge issues, Labour, Sock Dem, Sinn Féin all agree on this. On the huge issue of housing, they have failed. On the issue of health services, they have failed. So I think it's incumbent on our three parties and other progressives to meet in the days and weeks ahead to agree a common platform and to make it very difficult for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to put back themselves into power, particularly Fine Gael going back into power, I don't think is what the Irish people want.
Okay, Cian, are you up for that? Cian O'Callaghan from the Sock Dems.
Well, firstly, we've just had we've 11 TDs elected, seven of them new, so we haven't, the last of them were elected last night in the early hours of the morning, so we haven't met yet as a party. We will need to do that soon and talk about what we're going to do. We said throughout the campaign that we will be talking to all parties, so we will talk to other left parties. We certainly outline the issues.
Will you talk to
want.
Sinn Féin is the question.
We will certainly talk to Sinn Féin, absolutely, and as we will talk to other parties as well, and we've made that very clear throughout the election campaign.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. I have a very strong view from the election campaign, and I respect the outcome of it in terms of who people have voted for, but I have a very strong view that we simply cannot afford to keep going in the same direction that we have over the last 5 years, and indeed before, when it comes to areas like housing. It's causing massive stress and hardship and heartache for a lot of people. Simply more of the same on that, more of the same approach. And, you know, this is my first election campaign where I met a number of people in the doors who broke down in tears, and housing was one of the main issues because of the situations they were in and family members. And this is not something that can just be business as usual, more of the same. So we absolutely need a change of direction
mm-hmm.
when it comes to areas like housing and healthcare and disability services.
So are you prepared to contemplate going in with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael?
Yeah, we've been clear throughout the campaign as well that that is an option for us, that we would talk to all parties. We didn't rule any parties in or out. We don't know yet the full numbers of the election, but they're getting a picture of that now. We would only go in, though, if we could get a change of direction in these areas. So, you know, if the attitude of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael is that they think they're doing a really good job in these areas, if they think there doesn't need to be very significant and radical changes in areas like housing, then I don't see how we could do it.
Yeah, I think it's clear from the campaign that they want to go ahead with the plan that they have. And the problem you will have if you go in with them is that you're going in with a crew with 87 seats and you'll have, what are you expecting now, 11, is it? 11 or 12?
11.
I mean, what level of power are you going to have to influence something as massive as housing policy?
Yeah, and I think that's what we'll see over the coming days and weeks, what sort of influence the Social Democrats can have with the strength and mandate that we have. But I don't think this is simply a matter of parties and party, you know, numbers of different parties. This is something that I think for everyone who ran the election, they would have been hearing very strongly from people in the doors, that they feel that we have to, as a country, we have to address this. We can't keep having a situation where really skilled people in their 20s, 30s see the only future for themselves out of the country that they leave, that we're losing skills that we need in healthcare and disability services, teachers. You know, there's a real crisis in schools with teachers.
We know what the problems are. They were well rehearsed. But Pádraig McLoughlin, there is another option here, and that is Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin. Are you prepared to have that conversation should Micheál Martin change his tune on speaking to you and your party?
Well, Murray McDonald has made it clear that our first priority will be to engage with the progressive parties, and you know, I congratulate Labour and Soc Dems on a really solid performance. They've increased their seats. I mean, I think there has been, I think it's probably the biggest vote that I can think of ever for the left in Ireland. I say substantially more seats than we've ever got before. So this is a moment here where we need to unite together, and we need to put together a common platform and make it very difficult for Fianna Fáil just to go back and win Fine Gael. We know that's Micheál Martin's preference, but it doesn't mean he gets his way. And Fine Gael have been in power 14 years, and we know that they have failed, particularly in this area of housing. I agree with Cian. I actually had a growing sense of dread as the election went on that we desperately need change. The amount of people that I met who were in despair about housing, rent costs, you know, they just couldn't see a future for their sons and daughters.
But if you believe now that people voted for change and want to see Sinn Féin in government, you have to act today. Like, you have to act now to try and give them that option by trying to speak to Fianna Fáil, because you'll remember, and our listeners will remember, that after the last election in 2020, Sinn Féin were criticised for not reaching out quickly enough.
Oh, there's no doubt that Sinn Féin will talk to everybody. We believe it's our responsibility to try and secure a government for genuine change. And as Cian has said, that government has to have a plan that transforms the building of housing, affordable housing, social housing, housing overall. It has to happen. We have to have strong health services, disability services. So there is an alternative opportunity here. We'll do everything we can. But first of all, working with the progressive parties to agree a common platform.
But you won't have the numbers, Pádraig. You know, and you added it up there yourself at 60, facing around and about 87 on the other side. You know, you'd need an awful lot of independents and others to get you through.
But just to be clear, I mean, I'm not denying the numbers. I'm saying that it's incumbent on Labour, Soc Dems, Sinn Féin and others, other progressives, to work together on a platform and to say to Fianna Fáil, you have a choice here. That's the way I see the numbers. You have a choice here. You can try and force Fine Gael back into government again. That will take them to almost 20 years in government. Or you can look at this progressive platform that we have and go with a very different direction. I think that's where this is going.
All right, listen, will you stay on the line, Cian O'Callaghan, Conor Sheehan and Pádraig McLoughlin? Let's bring in our panel here. Jennifer Bray, do you see what Pádraig McLoughlin sees, that Fianna Fáil have a choice here?
I mean, they do have a choice, yeah, but realistically, Micheál Martin has made it very clear that he has no intention of sitting down for talks with Sinn Féin. And I think that actually, if Fianna Fáil were to go down that road, you're talking about a different party leader doing that realistically. And the numbers, they speak for themselves realistically. You know, we'll see the Fianna Fáil will probably end up probably somewhere around 10 seats ahead. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, they'll get close to the majority. They'll do better than I think a lot of people expected them to do during the campaign, particularly Fianna Fáil. And they have options. And that's the thing here. They can talk to independents, who look like they might make the first move, actually. They can talk to Labour, who are, from what I'm hearing internally, very divided over this, whether to go in or not. And we had, I think, Eoin O'Riordan saying you'd be mad if you were Labour to go in with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. They can talk to the Social Democrats. My sense of the Social Democrats in the last day is that there is actually a huge reluctance there, a feeling that if they stayed in opposition, they could really consolidate their support. They could go into this next 5 years and they could present themselves as the party of change in the way the Sinn Féin had hoped to do. So they have all these options.
Well, listen, let's get those theories and test them, because we have a representative both of Labour and the Soc Dems with us. Conor, is there real division in the Labour Party? We all get a sense of that. I mean, we've heard Ivana Bacik this morning. We see that she is very much willing to talk to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, but Eoin O'Riordan, I would assume, is a powerful person within your party, saying don't do it.
Well, the first thing I'd say, Claire, is we're all powerful people, and it looks like at the finish of the count today that hopefully with the election of Eoin Kenny that there'll be 11 of us. And the first thing that needs to happen is the 11 Labour TDs, our parliamentary party needs to meet. It hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. So I haven't had extensive discussions with my colleagues.
So you've no sense as to there being a division within the party on this?
But I can tell you we're very clear. Ivana set out our position. In the first instance, we will talk to like-minded parties such as the Social Democrats, such as Roderick O'Gorman, to see can we build a centre-left alliance and have that as a power block in terms of government formation, because we're very
and
clear.
And Sinn Féin?
We have fundamental differences with the three larger parties. But look, I mean, for us, this is about policy. So it's about getting the homes built that we need. It's about fixing the problems in our public services, such as health and childcare. So look, we're Democrats, we're grown-ups. We will talk to everybody, but we're very clear we're not going into government just to make up the numbers.
All right. Well, Cian O'Callaghan, are you going to stay out and do, as Jen Bray has heard around the place, build in opposition?
What we're going to do is we're going to talk to other parties and see can we play a role in the next government? Can we participate in it? Can we influence what the next government is going to do?
So you're reiterating your position. Alison, it's all very cagey, isn't it? Labour watching Soc Dems, Soc Dems watching Labour.
Maybe, Claire, I don't know, is it fatigue after the weekend? And don't get me wrong, I really enjoy the weekend, but I'm having a very strong sense of sort of déjà vu, of plus a change. If I had better French, I might stretch to a few more phrases, but it's pretty basic.
No, we get it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we've seen, as Jen said, we've seen the independents, let's face it, they're swiping right. Pretty, or is it left, lads? What am I?
Left.
I'm looking
no
to those
right,
of you young.
My husband would be suspicious if I knew that.
Yeah, swiping yes for yes, swiping right for yes, for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and really not being in any way coy. And it's entirely understandable what we're hearing now from Pádraig McLoughlin and from Cian O'Callaghan. But, I mean, ultimately you're just left with this sense that at the end of the day, after all the talk and a lot of posturing and hot air, that it will probably, you know, we'll be left with the same old. Ironically, I think that listening to Conor there in Limerick, and congratulations to him on his first election, is that Labour actually getting bigger, I think, nearly almost mitigates against them, that they might suit Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael better if there was even a smaller party, in terms of the divvying out of jobs and this whole thing that they have going on about the parity of esteem and all of that, and how, you know, how they will be knocking you know, different levels off each other over the next couple of weeks in terms of trying to work out jobs, positions, you know, how long Simon Harris, how long Micheál Martin get in the Taoiseach's office.
You know, if you're facing into a block, a Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil block of 87, how much power do you have if you are Labour or the Soc Dems or even a group of independents?
Well, you see, I do see, I mean, I heard Fiona on earlier talking about the people who didn't come out to vote, so, you know, that you can't have sympathy for them then if their position isn't represented. But I mean, you have to think of the people who, particularly of younger people, who are feeling so understandably frustrated at housing and that, and feeling, you know, disenfranchised, that it could suit the government to have that sort of a shade there, you know, a more left wing. But it, so that, that you can see the logic there, but it does complicate things for them ideologically to be taking on board a party as opposed to, you know, if you have more stable independence. So I suspect we can speculate here on that. They're only having those discussions amongst themselves mm-hmm. now. And because there are such, there's very delicate negotiation going to have to go on between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, because this, you know, clearly, I mean, Simon Harris will compound his position as leader by going back into government. But yet it's a negotiating tactic for him to turn around to Fianna Fáil and say, look, if you don't give us what we want, we're going to walk away. And what, you know, where does that leave them?
Mm-hmm.
So even
well, that
though
leaves them perhaps talking to Pádraig and his his party.
That, I don't think that is at all realistic. And I also think it's a very interesting point of the election. I think it shows how adept Sinn Féin are, how good they are at talking things up. I think first of all, it has really impressed me watching them when you look at all the scandals that they had only like weeks ago now, and even the results of the elections in June, how they got themselves together, how there was never a sense of them bitching about Mary Lou MacDonald, as would have happened in every other party, that there even would have been questions about the leadership and how they got themselves together. It shows immense resilience, but it also shows how they are much more than a party. They are a movement, and it all goes towards a united Ireland. But yet they are down more than 5%.
Yeah, and Pádraig.
So, I mean, they have spun that very successfully over the weekend.
And Pádraig, I hope you take that compliment from Alison, but also that you'll address that point that you are down 5.5%, isn't it, from your vote in 2020. Now, we heard earlier from Teresa Reedy, and when you look at your success or failure in this election, it very much depends on when you measure it from. I mean, do you see that your vote is down? And then if you look at where you were mid-cycle, you're around 35, 36% in the polls. So overall, you might have been hoping for a much better election.
Well, you know, Claire, I spoke to you after the local and European elections back in June, and I think that very few commentators would have looked at the results for us then and said they're going to win more seats in the general election. I don't think there's anybody would have came to that conclusion. And it has been a tough time the last year. And I think Mary Lou MacDonald was extremely strong during the campaign. She didn't put a foot wrong, showed all the qualities that she has as a leader. But for me, because I'm on the progressive left, and for me, I look at the political landscape, and this is by far the largest number of seats that the progressive left have ever won in Ireland. This country is changing election after election, and I think this is the moment.
The problem is, though, Pádraig, it's not enough.
Well, you know, I listened to the commentary, okay? In 2007, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael took 68% of the vote. They're down in around 41, 42% now. They don't have a majority. They need 10 of our TDs to have a stable government, at least. Now, is anybody suggesting that independents are going to be a stable government? That's why Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are briefing about Labour and Sock Dems. It is my strong view that it is the responsibility of those of us who have a progressive vision for this country in terms of housing and health now to come together and challenge Fianna Fáil on the narrative that Fine Gael go back in and serve almost 20 years in government. I don't think that's in the interest of the Irish people.
Now, Jennifer, in June after the local elections, I know you were writing about what people in Sinn Féin were saying about Mary Lou MacDonald in the aftermath of that. Do you get any sense that there are questions being asked or that there will be questions asked now?
I do, yeah, I do. And at the time, I think the thing that really surprised me after the local elections was that people were willing to talk to me off the record about Mary Lou MacDonald's leadership, which was the first time that had ever happened in my time covering politics. And I've kind of started touching base with people in Sinn Féin tentatively this morning to see what the mood is. And, you know, Sinn Féin is a very different party to others. It is more secretive than other parties. And I know the TDs might disagree with that, but it is a fact. And from what I'm hearing, those questions are being asked and that conversation is being had, but that conversation is being had behind closed doors. And someone said to me at the start of the weekend that this election is kind of like, for all the parties, spin a win. Everyone can spin a win in some kind of way. And it's the same for Sinn Féin, because it depends on what yardstick you measure it off. Do you go by this summer, in which case, you know, they took less than 12% of the national vote, then you look at the weekend as a success, right? Do you go off this time last year or when they hit their peak in the polls around 35%, to me, I go general election to general election. And what the aim of the game was to present, Sinn Féin wanted to present itself as the strongest party of opposition, capable of fielding this team of candidates who were and would be a government in waiting. That has not happened. Mm-hmm. And actually, if you look, and I drilled down constituency by constituency last night to look at where there were the poll toppers before, in loads of constituencies where Sinn Féin did very well the last time, their first preference vote is halved. Their count, the number of votes they got in the first count, the different candidates, whether it be Dublin Bay South, whether it be Dublin North West, is massively down. And their national share of the first preference vote was down 5%. So by my yardstick of reading things, that is not success. That is not a victory. Mm. And in other parties, I think already you would have had on your show, somebody would have broken cover and said, well, maybe it's a conversation
they might argue
that we need to
they're
have.
Here to stay, though. You look at the spring tide, the Gilmore Gael, Labour thought they were joining the top table with FG and FF, but Sinn Féin now have consolidated their position, they might argue, and they're now there with their that
okay,
would
well,
be the positive
you have to
side.
Consider the don't you have to consider the personal in here too, in terms of Mary Lou, the personal appetite for it? I mean, I have no idea what her attitude to this is, so you can only speculate, but in terms of the year she had personally, surgery herself last summer, her husband being diagnosed with cancer, all the downs the party had earlier in the year, and then the notion of a possible, she was made leader in 2018, is that correct? So you're talking at like 5 years and another five in opposition. It's a long sentence, isn't it?
It's a slog.
Well, Pádraig, listening to all of that, I mean, you heard Jennifer Bray there saying that questions will be asked about the Sinn Féin leadership, but we won't hear about it.
Well, you know, as I say, we've taken 39 seats. That's more than we took in 2020. You know, and as I say, on the back of a very disappointing local and European election. And just to be clear, I mean, I'm not aware of any calls for Mary Lou McDonald to step aside. What we want is Mary Lou McDonald to be, you know, in a government dealing with the real issues of our people, which is, and you know, and this is what it's all about here, is about nobody can objectively say that where we've got to in Ireland, where, you know, two people in a couple working cannot put a roof over their head. That is not a society that is functioning properly.
Can you address that point that Jen made, though, that in some places your first preference vote has halved?
There's no doubt in a number of constituencies. Like we had this extraordinary surge, but what they haven't dealt with, in fairness to the various commentators on the show today, is this is the most successful result. Whatever about Sinn Féin, because it's bigger than Sinn Féin, this is about a progressive alternative vision for Ireland. And if you look at Labour, Sock Dems, Sinn Féin and other progressive independents have been elected, it's by far the biggest block of TDs ever. So in terms of that, I think that is a great result for the Irish people.
Okay.
What we need to do now is, and see, I don't agree that it's inevitable that, whatever about Micheál Martin, it's about numbers. And if Micheál Martin, will not want to be looking at a group of 10 or 11 independent TDs, that is not a stable government at all. So it's incumbent on us on the left now to make it impossible for them to form a government, a stable government, unless they work and implement a change vision. And that's our challenge.
All right. Well, it sounds as though the Sock Dems and Labour are willing to have that conversation with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And thank you both. Thank you all for joining us on the programme. We had on the phone there Conor Sheehan from Labour, Cian O'Callaghan from the Sock Dems and Pádraig McLoughlin from Sinn Féin, and Jennifer Bray and Alison O'Connor here in the studio along with Barry Lenehan. Let's take a break.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.